So I had a good week away, and a lot's coming, a lot's in store for us this year. Some of the main points I was kind of hoping that I was going to be able to minister on this morning, but this morning he turned me in a totally different direction than what I was receiving in Williamsburg. But it's all good, I tell you. Williamsburg, we had a good time. You know, we had, and I say we, me and the Holy Spirit, but then Glow came on Thursday and Friday, and then we met Glow's sister and her husband on Saturday for lunch because I hadn't seen them in a while. And I want to share something that happened there. But, you know, just again, but before I do that, make sure, if you can get away with us at the end of April for 2 days, 3 days, whole week, whatever, you really, the stuff that God's imparting to us, and I hope today we'll bear it out a little more. So you got to come if you can, and you can't approach it leisurely. You know, Satan is a destroyer, and it's not like he's sitting still while we're growing, right? It's not like this, you know, the real opposition comes when life comes. You know, when Jesus came on the scene, that's when Satan got so mad because he was life, right? He was life. It's like I got a whole different something just hit earth that didn't come from earth, right? Something just hit earth that never was here before. Right? And we gotta kill this thing. Yeah, I'm going to upset his apple cart. It's upset the whole thing. The whole thing. I'm going to upset the whole thing because, you know, Jesus upset the whole thing. And it's like, okay, we're going to put, I don't care if you're two or under, we're going to make, because we got to kill this thing. I don't care about the collateral damage. Are you following me? He didn't care. Think about the collateral damage. If I got to kill 2,000 of them, 2,000 going to go as long as I get the one, you know. I'm just trying to say how mad he is when life hits the scene. And so that's one reason why he's not really mad at the church. Because there's no life there. You know, she read the quote. There's just no life there. We are more before Pentecost than we are after. That's talking about the church. In other words, if Jesus had said, don't go out, even though I taught you, even though you were associated with me, even though I gave you lessons, even though you saw miracles I did, even though you got delivered so-and-so, still don't go. And you know what we would have done? We would have formed a going committee. Because you can't go without life. And people, so that's, God intended that man of his own creation to possess his own divine eternal life and to share his life with you. Okay. So his whole thing, don't go with all the lessons you've learned, with all I've taught you. I sat down, I gave you parables, you saw you evidence with your natural eyes, you saw everything, but don't go yet. You can't go yet. You can't go yet until there's life. And it's one of the, you know, the church is so organized and so taught. There are seminaries across the country. There are institutions and hierarchies and titles and uniforms and all. The church world is not a life world. It's an organizational world. And that's why I said, if Jesus had came back today, you know, he would be in more trouble than he was with the Jews, because we feel that we already got it, right? B, we've read about it. We know the scriptures. We know what, Lord, we know what you said. Now, just kind of get out the way and let us take over, right? We've been taught. We got this Anglican institution and this Pentecostal institution, and we've got this, you know, Lord, let me go show you this $10 billion structure where 10,000 people attend every Sunday. You must have not seen that part of it. See, we would display the external. We would display, and even we would take what he said. We would take what he said. That I came to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. We would take that and say, see, Lord, look at all this. We got abundant life. We have all this stuff. We would make it external. It would be more for us. It's more to get than to give. See, really, you know, Christian, you know, you can minister giving messages all you want, but until life gets inside of a person from heaven, they're not going to give. They're not going to do it because life is giving. Death is taking to seeing what you can get. Death is taking. So we're under, you know, when the curse came, you know, man fell under the structure of death, and he keep trying to put religion on top of it, but religion doesn't get him out of death. That's why he can't love. He can't love. You know, all messes, you know, Robert, we know the kind of love, the filio and the eros, and what's the difference if it's not coming out of your heart? You know, you don't even have to define what type it is. If we waited in the upper room for the Holy Spirit to come and dwell in us and give us life and give us life more abundantly, he's not going to have to teach you how to. He's not going to teach you how to love. It's going to start springing up out of your being, love is. And so here's God joining us together so that we can have life and have it more abundantly. I like what Christian was saying, you know, that quote should start to really start. It's the quote over the money, but it's really the quote of your life. You know, I think it's like this too. See, we're so money conscious and so getting conscious. You know, even over there in Malachi where it says, shall a man rob God? Of course he said tithes and offerings, but you know, what we're really robbing him of is the life that he wants to get inside. You know, it's robbing him of his purposes before the world started, before time began in eternity. I want to set up a tree of life. And I want Pastor Glow to eat off of the tree of life and get life today and get more life tomorrow. Life being this internal union between you and I, and let that grow. If that grows, I don't have to give a commandment on what to wear. The life itself teaches you how to dress. The life does that. The life, look. Look, an ornery husband doesn't do that. Life teaches you that. Are you following me? A pastor out of sorts doesn't teach you that. A religion doesn't teach you that. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of life. Have we waited for him at Pentecost yet? Or do we still need rules and regulations? God's so desiring to dwell inside of you. That was the whole purpose. That's his original purpose. You know, Glo and I are sitting down at lunch, and we had a nice fellowship, a nice lunch. I'm gonna call it a nice lunch with my little sister. And toward the end of this is yesterday, and toward the end of it, he, brother-in-law, we were talking about nothing but, you know, old times or, you know, general things. But at the end, he says, something's been happening to me. You think your prayers don't count? You think our 24-hour prayers don't mean anything? You think our Saturday morning prayers don't mean anything? You think our whole travail is for souls. And you know, of course, salvation is good, but not even holy salvation. To come into union with the Holy One. See, that's that to have life. To come into union. You know, Jesus called it, I come that you have eternal life. Not live for going to heaven. Not, or live, you know, after you die, but a union with your Father that Adam lost. That's what I got robbed of, he said. I didn't, and so, you know, that's what he got robbed of. He got robbed of, Adam cut the cord to life, right? Adam was God's son. Adam was God's son. He breathed God. You know, he breathed in God. They had a union. They were just deep fellowship with one another, right? Shall a man rob God? You know, really, like, God doesn't really need your money. Satan robbed him of the union that he had with you. And his God like, I'm going to get that back. I'm going to get that back. I'm going to get that back. I'm determined to get that back. And the only way that Jesus sat down on that throne was when, and said, it is finished, and sat down on that throne. He didn't stand in there. He sat down on that throne and said, okay, union is back now. That's the only reason he couldn't go sit down until union got back. If I have to stay 10 days, if I have to stay 20 days until union gets back, you know, I'm talking about in hell, until union gets back, I'll suffer to the utmost. Because I see this lady down, through 2,000 years that she needs union with me back. She doesn't need church services. She doesn't need a religious order. She doesn't need, she needs union back. Higher than what Adam had. Higher than what Adam had. Because he got, God saw the whole thing. He saw the whole thing with Adam. He saw the whole thing before Adam fell. And Satan think he had something going. He made his biggest mistake. Because his God said, I'm going to get something higher than what was lost. God just don't get it back. He won't get it back. This is why I call it abundant life, see. So that means this lady can walk home. Hallelujah. And go home today and say, one thing, I can't count on circumstances going right. But what I can count on is the union with my God never ever ending. I can't count on this. I can't count on that. I can't count on my pastor. I can't count on this. But what I can count on is that Jesus did not rise until I can get this union back. Until I got this union back restored. See? Me and you, and I and you and me, and you don't know where I end and you start and where you start. We're so close. That's what I came to get back. And that's the union. So we see, it's not an in the building thing. Why those streets right are paved with gold. It's just the unions everywhere you go. It's sweeter than gold. See? And that is why John wrote what he wrote. I'm trying to get back to that, I think. But see, we have this divine union with him, right? And here's this man. That's why I can't say it yet. Here's this man, that I'm going to, the husband. But see, you, God will move things out the way. Because I got to have my union with you. If that thing is in the way, if that thing is in the way, nothing comes before it. Nothing comes before it. I don't care if your mother, your father, your husband, I don't care. Wife, nothing comes before. I got to have union with you. If it's in the way, I get it out the way. If it's your pastor, I get him out the way. If it's your church, I'll get that church out the way. You understand? Because union with you means everything to me. I just want to inhabit you and you inhabit to me. Inhabit me. I abide in you and you abide in me. You can do nothing without me because we have this union together. That's why I came. Give you life and give it to you more abundantly. So now, look, all your hope then becomes in him. All your hope is in that union, Amanda. Everything I hope for is in my union with God. Forget about the cars and the trappings. Where's my union? I read Joyce say he went up to heaven. He said, the Lord said, come closer. He said, I just want to see how much of my son's inside of you. It's all about the whole union. This is what John was right. Right, right. And he said, we have this fellowship with God again. Right? I'm writing to you because now we know we have this fellowship that man lost at the beginning. That's starting to disappear after the first centuries because of religion starting to get in. Now, here's old man John writing to him and saying, in 1 John, I'm starting to write to you because our fellowship is in our son, in his son, right? We have eternal life. Robert's so sweet. It's so sweet. It's so sweet, Raquel. It's so sweet. Look, I haven't forgotten about your brother-in-law, but look, you know, going on. You know, so we're watching like Little House. Because, you know, I kind of like the action stuff. We're going to watch Little House. And, of course, it's all old episodes, so I kind of had seen it before. And she's seen them all, like, how many other times? So I'll be asking her questions, what's going to happen next? and she knows. But, look, so we're watching it the other day. And it's the episode where... the little boy Albert, y'all know Albert Little House, the adopted son. So him and another boy, you know, they're what, 10-ish? Another boy stole a guy's pipe, old man's pipe, and went in the basement and started smoking. Basement of the blind school. School for the blind. So it's, you know, 5 or 6 blind children in there. And then there's a woman in there who's helped keeping the kids, and she had just had a baby. Oh, she was keeping a baby. I'm missing it. There was a baby in there. Very small. Somebody caught him in the basement or trying about to come down to the basement, and they didn't want to get caught, so they just threw the lit pipe and ran away. Well, you know, those houses back then were just completely flammable, you know. upshot is the house, you know, in the show, the house burned up. All of the blind children got out. Two people died. I said, "Glow, is this Little House?" She said, "Yeah." The baby died in Little House. In Little House, the baby died. So whoever wrote it down to the bottom, you know. Baby died, an adult lady died. So a sequence of things happened, and eventually they found out that the pipe started the whole thing. And they were like, "Well, who would have done this?" And they just said, "Well, whatever, you know. It's just a tragic thing that's going on." Well, the little boy, Albert, you know, he started hearing them talking. And he started realizing, "Oh, I did that." And it broke him. And he couldn't get over it. And, you know, his sister was blind, too. His older sister was blind. That was the mother of the baby. Thank you. The mother of the baby was blind. But she wasn't in the house, but she was. But anyway, the mother, baby, just got in shock and wouldn't come out of it, wouldn't talk, wouldn't speak because her baby had died. And Albert tried to spruce her up because he knew he had done it and bought her a music box. But the music box did more damage at first. So when Albert saw the damage of the music box, he ran away. He ran away where his dad, Charles Ingalls, had to go find him. And they went and found him. Of course, at the end of the story, they, you know, nobody's fault, son. And he runs to his dad, like, you know, the prodigal son, he runs to his dad. But here's what I'm trying to get to you. This union that God gave us is so deep that it surpasses all of your sin and all of your mistakes, and there's no condemnation in it. There's a union that there's no guilt in it. Somebody said, "What about the ones I'm going to commit tomorrow?" There's still no guilt in it. What about the ones next year? There's still no guilt in it. It's like, you know, no matter how much Albert does wrong, he could kill two people. God doesn't see it. He doesn't remember it. The relationship, the union is higher than anything in the natural, anything of your old man. The union is higher. It's like the prodigal son when he came back. "I don't remember nothing you did." He put a ring on him, you know, and he still won't remember anything he does in the future. Can y'all hear that? You know, David would pray in Psalms. He said, "Cleanse me of my blood guiltiness." In other words, there's just when the union enters inside of you, you become a son. You become a daughter. There's no recognition. In him, there's no condemnation. The law of the Spirit now says there's no condemnation. And see, I know your head's getting a little funny now. He said, "What about, you know?" Of course you're going to sin. But the blood is applied. It's union blood. It's supply. You're my son. I don't care what you do. How many of you, when your babies do wrong, you say, "Well, now you're not my son"? I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying the union never dissipates. That's all I'm trying to say. You know, I know what people think. I know how people think. Well, were you letting people do whatever they want? Let them go ahead. The only thing that's going to stop people from doing whatever they want is union. See, what happens is the gospel of grace hits and men start to put their minds on it. Well, if they do that, that means he can do what he wants. Look, God wasn't afraid of that. In other words, whatever union can be stronger than your desire to do wrong. See, I remember this. I remember reading this. You know, when Abraham, God was training Abraham, and he went somewhere he wasn't supposed to go. And when God showed up on the scene, he would just say, "Okay, get out of here and go where I called you." In other words, he wouldn't say, "Why are you here? You blew it again. he just said, okay, now get up and go. You understand? We would have chastised him. We would have said, bless God, you did it again. This is your 10th time. And you resolved that you would. All he just come on the scene. Okay, get ye out from where to where I called you. It's a different kind of relationship. You know, I'm gonna throw this on you. You know, that's why he would say things like, in them there is no sin. And so for years we were like, oh my God, I'll be glad when I get to that point. No. Because you'll never get to that point. Not in yourself. But in God's, in them, there is no sin. See, come on, man. So what that does, it makes you rejoice. See, the thing that's holding people back is this sin conscious. That's what holds you back. This sin conscious that, you know, I got blood guiltiness in me. I don't matter. And so it holds your faith back. You know, Rob, he said, you can boldly come to the throne as if it never happened ever before. Because now there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus who walk after the Spirit of life. That's exactly what it does. You know, you want to see worship pick up? Let people get this revelation right here. What? You know, people worship. You know, you worship because of what Jesus did. He took away. Look, he told the prophet, he said, the prophet said, thank God he cast all my sins behind my back. I'm sorry, but I don't have one. See, if you got one, you got 10,000. Right? I don't have one. Do I sin? Of course. But I don't have one. See, you don't know the power of the blood. You don't know the power of the blood. People don't know the power of the blood. We got religion instead of blood. We got religion instead of blood. See, now Satan's like winning because they're just so conscious of their guiltiness, you know. They're so and what does the scripture say? Who shall lay any charge to God's elect? It's Christ that justified. Who's gonna lay a charge to you? Can devil, can demons, can principalities, can, you know, the law? Nothing can lay a charge to you. Not one thing. And the Holy Spirit said, now go worship. Go worship. Go worship now. Nothing can lay anything to God's people. Nothing. You know, obviously there are personal things we got to deal with, you know, fellowship slips and stuff. But I'm talking about as far as you, there's a union that's so strong that you're God's child and he's not going to let anything lay any charge to you. Look, he's the spotless lamb. He's the spotless lamb. And he comes spotless Raquel walking right after him. Spotless. Spotless, right? Without wrinkle, spot or wrinkle. Because it's all in him. It's all in him. As he is, so is she. Are y'all getting it? Take it. Took all the weight, sir. Took all the weight. See, grace takes care of the real sinner. Grace, go on, we'll do another. Yeah. Look, I'm clean. I'm clean. What God's called clean, don't you call common? Don't you call it unclean? Don't you call it unclean? That's my son you're talking about. And whatever I got to move out the way so people can see this. As far as the east is from the west. Satan comes up and he said, God said, I don't know what you're talking about. He said, he just lied. I don't know what you're talking about. It makes you fall on your face and worship. It doesn't make you want to go just do whatever. It makes you want to fall on your face and worship. See, the worshipers once purged have no more remembrance. The worshiper once purged by the blood of Jesus. He would not get on that throne until you were purged. It's a whole obligation. She's purged now, Father. Now she's bright in your sight. Inhabit her. And bring that union now. And that whole union is based on the blood, right? We talked about the other week, you know, the nation of Israel and Egypt, right? That blood was on the doorposts. They inside the room. Guiltless. 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 Somebody, why couldn't the angel of death touch him? Because they already died when the lamb died. They already died when the lamb died. So now they're spotless as he is. Give me a lamb spotless, Derek. Spotless lamb. I'm going to kill a spotless lamb. Because that's a representation of you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. My sins. Blessed is the man whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man. He took all of your infirmities. He bore all your diseases. He took all your sins. Never, they're wiped out. Glory to God. Now go worship. Hallelujah. They're wiped out. Glory to God. No man can bring a charge to you at all. Not the highest angels. No charge. No charge. No charge. I'm forgiven. I'm blessed through and through. So he says, look, see, now he can say, because you like that, Shanique, he can say, come boldly to the throne. I got no more consciousness to sin. Come boldly. That's what he's talking in Hebrews. The blood will sprinkle over your conscience. That blood sprinkled over your conscience. People call you a sinner. I say, I know what my flesh is like, but inside, I got perfect contact with God. God wants his people back. He wants his people back. Why are they remembering sin over and over? But this little inner thing inside of us, this little guilt bell keep going on. And God said, I'm going to erase that thing. That thing went all the way up to the throne of God. You know, Jesus took his blood and the Holy Spirit sprinkled his blood on the heavenly altar. Their sins are washed away. We think it's just for the sinner. Don't their sins be red as scarlet? I'm going to make them as white as wool. It's just not for the sinner. That's just not for the first time you get converted. That's a salvation message to us. That's a message to us all our lives. Right, I'm purged. It's not by might. See, this is why Christ has to be anything. It's not by might or power, but by his spirit. It's a higher law that we got to elevate into. God wants his people back. Look, come as you are. I do the cleansing. It's the law of the Spirit, see. Look, let the life take care of itself. You know, I can't cleanse me, so what are you going to do? See, I read them scriptures, and it's always like, boy, I'll be glad when I get out there. You know, when it's like Pastor Joe, he would say, I know how to present you blameless. don't know what I was reading in there. That's all because of him. Makes you fall on your face, and I love him more. God, as dirty as I am, as dirty as Albert was, and his dad's side, he was blameless. His words were, I love you. I love you, son. I'm just glad to have my son back. I love you, son. I don't care what you did. As bad as it was, I don't care what it was. There's a union between me and you, and the blood has cleansed it. How much does the church need to hear this? See, we pastors keep trying to shake people up. You know, as soon as they do something wrong, we try to get them. You this, that, and that, and that. Bible says this, that. And you don't know what the Bible says. You know, that's what the quote's all about. Even though he taught us all of this, but there's no life in you because life teaches you the truth. God, he loves you so much. He'll get whatever out the way to give you life. He'll get whatever out the way to give you life. See? So you, we think it's like, God, why'd you do that? He said, he might be saying that's because it was in the way of the life that I've been trying to give you. And that's my only purpose of coming. Read the book of John, 1 John. I had scriptures, but I can't do them today. I can't do them. I've been trying, but I can't. Because God wants people back. See? Can a man rob God? Yeah, it's not your money. It's not your money. Satan has robbed him of his union with this man. Forget about your money. Like you said, God don't need that money. You know, here's what that man said to us at the table yesterday at lunch. At the end of he said, I just got to share this. He'd been in church. Some of y'all met him, plays the bass and such. Been in church, plays da 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 da. But he's 60 years old-ish. I don't know if he's listening to this. Forgive me for getting your age wrong. Because I think it's starting to go out a little bit, by the way. So he said, something's starting to come inside. And the term he used was my inner spirits. God's starting to come in my inner spirit. He said, sometimes it's like a water hose. It's like it comes so fast and strong. It's coming into my inner spirit. This man been in religion for years. He said, I don't know why it just started happening. I'm having dreams and visions and but something's happening to me. And me and Glow was like, oh my God. He said, I want to read more now than what tradition is saying. I want to read the book of Enoch. I want to read, scripture. I was like, great day, sir. In my mind, I'm going to like, God's restoring the union. After all his years in church, God says, I'm going to restore the union. And he goes on and on. And from that time till we left, he's talking about this thing. You know, he's talking about things. And we start ministering to him. Glow start ministering to him. We start sharing one another in the spirit, right? You know, kind of life. In other words, God was showing him life in his inner being. You know, that's the way he put it. That's what he put it in my inner spirit. He's a religious man talking about something in his inner spirit, and knowing that it went outside the camp. It went outside the camp of normal Christianity. God showed me differently now. See? And you never heard. All his church life, never heard anybody say anything about this at all. And I said to him, I said, yeah, exactly. You go to church tomorrow, you're going to know exactly what they're going to say. You're not going to know exactly what they're going to say. Because religion is a box. You can get a new person, but they're just going to say it in a different way. He'll say the same thing in a different way. and you're going to get excited about it, and in your emotionalism, you're going to say, "Bless God, you know, this was so good. It's got the name of religion." But it's only in the life. Let me put this on you. See, so that was us knowing that God is with you wherever you go. You follow me? In other words, life takes on us. Well, you know, we don't plan what was happening at the table. The Holy Ghost set the whole thing up. He said the whole thing. We weren't, you know. I come to give you life and give it, you know, breathe. This stuff can start happening every day if we let life take over and union take over. Look what the quote said. I taught you all this, but don't you go anywhere yet. Don't go anywhere yet. It's not what you know. When people tell me I follow the teachings of Jesus, I say, you don't have it. Are y'all following me? See, you can try to follow teachings, but if you don't have the life, you haven't been in the upper room yet, right? Pastor Ross was singing this morning about the upper room. I don't know if y'all heard. She didn't know it, but she was precluding. We got to go to the upper room and get the source of life. We got to go to the upper room. Pentecost was the beginning of it. Don't go until the life can get inside of you. And then the messages are going to spring out of you. You're not going to study them, quote unquote. They're going to spring out of you. Man, I want to do them scriptures so bad, but I can't. I've come to give you life, that you might have life, and that you can have it more abundantly. Jesus, you know, so you mentioned suffering and stuff to the church world, and they'll flinch real hard. Look, all that proves to me is that you don't have life, because life is worth suffering for without the bat of an eye. God, just give me this eternal, just give me this life where all my sins are forgiven. I'll suffer whatever. Forget about the external blessings. Just to know that I'm sinless, spotless, and eternity is mine now. Look, I can walk with him in white. And whatever the world, see this, look, Pastor Mike, this is when the devil throws everything at you. This is really when the fight starts, when life starts running through you. You know, we want to know why the church in the Western Hemisphere is not suffering persecution? There's not much worth there. There's very little there that the devil's concerned about. There's no life. Pastor Jerry, I need you to finish this. I've come to give you life. when you read John's whole gospel, the one scripture, let's do that one scripture D in John 20. I got one in. Is it there? Look, many other signs, therefore, did Jesus in the presence of his disciples. Did a lot of signs, right? Healing, sick, right? By the way, Lazarus, which were not written, it couldn't even get them all in there. Not to impress you, not that you go out and try to do them yourself. Why did he do them? But these were written that you may what? That you might believe on Jesus and Son of God, and that believing you may have what? Life. In other words, the miracles weren't just for miracle's sake. That would show you life. The whole reason that Jesus allowed Lazarus to die was that he could show life Right? What happened after he raised him from the dead? He said, I am the resurrection. Look at your announcement card. I am the resurrection and the life. No other reason. Not to set up an organization, not to go start, you know, put a title on, not for you. We worship because we have life. It's not a part of the service. It's not what a church is supposed to do. You worship because you have life. You sing because you have life. That's why you sing, right? When the life gets in you, it's songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Life starts to bring them out. By the way, last night I'm dreaming, and I'm dreaming about her husband. I'm dreaming about Enoch. And in the dream, he's just singing. He's just singing, man. I'm like, I didn't know Enoch could sing. I didn't know Enoch could sing, but he was singing like it was like shaking the waters. You know, it was like everybody was fastened to him. And I'm waking up, Lord, what's that all about? That's what you do when my life gets inside of you, right? See, Paul and Silas at midnight, you know, what did they say? They said they were singing hymns to God because life was inside of them. Let it flow. Let it flow. Shouldn't you got something? I see you on your phone. I know you're looking up something. Okay, if you find it, let me know. And if it means something, let me know. Pastor Jerry's about to come up. Did you want to share anything about yesterday? You know, that's why God doesn't care if it's 2 or 2,000. If the 2 are gathered and they have life, it means more than, you know, Gideon trying to get all these, you know, people. Nope, no life in them. I know. See, a lot of people are going to be so surprised when they get up to that judgment thing. Right? A lot of people will be really, really surprised. Because they're gonna be thinking about what they've done. And God's just gonna turn to you, is there any life in you? That's not gonna be it. We wanna tout what we do. Everything is about what we do, not what's in us. See? By the way, if life is in us, judgment's passed for you. There's no judgment. If life is in us, we pass from death to life. There's no judgment there. There's no judgment seat for you. Only the judgment seat for, you know, what you've done in him. But as far as sins, there's no judgment for sin for you, sir. It's past. It makes you want to worship. There's no judgment for sin for you. We've had a bad gospel preached to us, which is really no gospel. No judgment, sir. What about my mess ups? No judgment, sir. My ways aren't your way. Look, Pastor Jerry. See, I can tell by the body of Christ. There's this cloud we live under, you know, but this guilty cloud. You live under this guilty cloud, and God said, "I'm springing you free from that thing." I could quote to you scripture after scripture that we just passed over because our guilt consciousness overrode him. I can tell you about Jesus at the throne, you know, sitting there making sure that this thing is going to proceed better than it was before Adam fell. And for that to happen, you can have no sense of unrighteousness. You see, you don't grow in righteousness. He became sin that you could become righteous. You don't grow in it. It's his. See, this kind of thing makes you want to jump over a wall. Right? God, you and me like that? Well, you don't have any remembrance of this thing? What kind of love is this? Look, Sarah, receive that kind of love and watch you start loving people in a way that you never loved them before. Receive that kind of love and watch that thing reciprocate back out. Watch you become a giver.
I had this vision on the 26th of February I want to share. But while I was sitting down, you mentioned the upper room. So I saw you and Pastor Mike in a room. And I shared it with Pastor Mike, but I didn't send you the text. But you guys were communicating. It's like you were praying and then like you were talking, but it... What happened was when I was sitting there, I said, why are the people not going into the room? I was afraid to go into the room, but I know I heard your voice and I heard Pastor Mike's voice into the room. A while ago, the Holy Spirit said to me, because of, we thought, the condemnation, you know, all the guilt and all the sin and all that. So it's just revelation. I just want to share. You know, that upper room is calling us to. And because of our sin and, you know, we hang on to, because of that old, that religion, you know, that church that we went to and that pastor that told us that your sins and you're this and you did that and all that, that's why we were afraid to go up into that room. And I just want to share that.
Albert killed a baby. Spotless. He could have killed that baby one day and gone up in the upper room the next. Right into the presence of God. See, a thief on the cross is a big lesson to us. Look, today you'll be with me. Don't matter. Today you'll be with me. Somebody said, well, what if he, you know, lived for another 10 years? Today.
I'm not going to remember all the dynamics because, Pastor Jerry, this is your 72nd year. It actually started, so we had a prelude of it, I think, about 2 years ago at Pastor Jerry's 70th birthday. I remember when we were preparing so hard for that event. And a lot of things can't get into. Was so much into that, but at the very last, and it was originally supposed to be on the first floor, beautiful room laid out and everything. And I shared it with Pastor Mike, and I wish I had the book. And I remember at the very last minute, they moved it to the third floor. And the Lord back then, I wrote it in my manual. I don't know if you remember it, what I said, but the Lord said, this is because I'm moving you to an upper room experience. the room that he gave us, we had more access. You know, the situation was that there were some financial situations. But anyway, he gave us more for less at the very last minute. But it had more so to do with a spiritual undertaking than it was a natural thing. So here he moves us from the first floor to the third floor. Is that symbolic? like I said, we had act, we had more space, and it was intimate. It was communion. It, the atmosphere of it, it was a common union, commonality there. I wish I had the book. I can't remember, but just because we're talking about this event, so you know, he gives us foretastes and, you know, shadowings, I believe, of times and events and things. We didn't know it then, but now it's the unveiling of some of the things that we have experienced and going through. We're beginning to see and experience, and it's beginning, the pieces of the puzzle or the tapestry is beginning to come together and to make sense. And there was so much to it. There were so many symbolic things. And maybe next week or another occasion, I can share with you. But I just remember that he moved from the moving of that bent at the very last minute up to the room. And the word that he gave was that this, because this was going to be, he moved us into the upper room and all. And that was, what, about 2 years ago. And so God has, he's very strategic, and his timing is impeccable.
Just one thing that I think is significant in the experience that we had yesterday with my brother-in-law. He's very, like you said, very religious, had been, and just grew up in church. Southern type church, if you know what I mean, and he works at what is the Coast Guard. There's a place down there. It's a Coast Guard base where everybody of all different walks of life work there. And if you work there, you supposedly are, you know, kind of not well off, but you get some prestige, I guess, if you want to call it that. But anyway, so he's an older man. And one of the things he said at dinner, at lunch, was, I wake up every morning and I thank God for my wife. He said, I give him thanks because I asked him before I got married for a wife that loved the Lord. And I don't remember the exact words, but he said, you know, she loves the Lord. And I'm so thankful that he put her in my life. And then Pastor Gary said, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. And then McGarrett went on and said, I work at the Coast Guard base, and are these young Caucasian fellow, this young Caucasian fellow always wants to come to me. He said, do you need anything? Do you want anything? What can I do for you? And he just said, out of the blue, this guy just starts coming to him. And now it's almost like he's mentoring this young. This guy's in his 20s, and McGarrett is 60, our age. But at any rate, so after a minute, I thought about it. The Lord said, "Well, he who finds a wife finds a good thing, and they find favor with the Lord." And you have to kind of have to live in the South to know what I mean about the black people working at a Coast Guard base and the white people working at a Coast Guard base. And this young white guy started coming to him. And even his supervisor has done all, and gives him anything he wants. You know, it just looks out for him because other people are trying to be against him, in other words. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff behind that. But my point is, the Lord has given him favor, and that communion, because he's having communion with the Lord now, after all these years, the Spirit of the Lord, the life of the Lord is opening up, and others can see.
I'm trying to put it all together here, what she said. As they were ministering, 1,000, you know, other things would come to me. For instance, you know, Jesus could say that. Jesus could say, "I found a wife, that's you, and I got favor from God." Right? And by the way, my wife is without spot or wrinkle. who were married to him. And he got God's favor. He was the name above every name. The thing that you were talking about. You know, that's the one where BJ had a dream. That somebody paid for his ticket to get to the upper room. He went for free. See, your being spotless was free. You know what keeps a lot of people out of this? Bad preaching, condemnation of the heart, like Shanique was saying. See, you got to listen to that. You got to listen to that. Actually, this is hard for people to hear. You say, what? You mean my sins are gone? So we just put it for the people who just get saved. But for us, we got to keep trying. You know, it's always like this. You know, here's what God says, Glow. You're a new creature. Old things have passed away. Even any guilt for sin, that's old. That's passed away. Everything's become new. You live this new life. That's sin. In him, there is no sin. Look, I know what it says. If we have sin, you got to confess them, of course. But that's just, you know, if you keep sinning, grace won't abound, and your communion with God is just not going to get little stuff going to get in the way. But you still, there's still no judgment about that. Are y'all following me? Here's the lamb. Slaying every accusation that comes up against you. He slay every one of them. He waves his robe over every accusation that could ever come to you. Now be my son. Oh, I know you stumble and stuff. Just get back up. But you're still my son. Miss Carol, you know, all my spots fell off. Come on. It's that hidden weight inside of you. You know, you don't even think about it, but it's hidden inside of you. I got the spots in there. Let's go worship. That's what happened to David, right? I killed his baby. I killed the baby. God, against you, I did this thing. He come out of that thing. God made him cleanse his wife. What did he say? I'm going to go worship. Man, this stuff makes me happy, Tina Bina. You know, let everything dissipate. Let everything else dissipate and go. Let it all go. But I'm weightless. I'm weightless in his presence. Where shall I go from his spirit, right? I got nothing on me. I'm talking about in Christ Jesus. I'm talking about in Christ Jesus. One step out of him, you might, you know, you're lost. He ever liveth to make intercession for me. And that blood's constantly covering me. I tell you, that's why Satan don't like that blood, by the way. Because there's no accusation he can get in there. This goose was cooked with that blood, sir. Come on, man. Look, for 2,000 years, he shook up everything. Like the lady said over here, for 2,000 years, I was carrying that weight of guilt. Every man was carrying it. Shanique, every year, they had to make sacrifices because the remembrance of sin. Every year they had to keep making sacrifices. And Deborah, then he made the one. And no more need to be made. No more need to be made. when you slip and fall, he don't have to go make a sacrifice again. We got the veil has been split. We've entered into a new and living way. And this love. So every sin that you would ever commit before you were born till the day you die got covered, sir. That's why he said love will cover a multitude of them things. Glow, we don't know love yet. Like, man, split the atom. God split that whole guilt thing between, you know, life and death. He split that thing and said, no, you're the life side of it. Just go after that. Just live in that. I got your back. Pastor Jerry. Oh, Dre, I'm sorry. There's a, you know, I wish I could dance.
Man, this is so good. So much revelation coming through about the spirit life, but just even when you just spoke something else, another revelation came through. Religion will have us. Oh, religion will have has us living under the old law, like you said. We had to make the sacrifices every year. That's the mentality of the old law. And the new law brings another meaning to when Jesus said about forgiveness 70 times 7. We don't have to think about it like you're saying. Because of God's grace, you know, the old way of thinking of religion, I have us trying to keep track of every single sin, try to figure out how am I ever going to get clean or be accepted. Because I have to keep track of every sin, Lord forgive me, and also how we're supposed to have a true heart, how can we keep up and possibly have a true heart of repentance for every single last sin that we commit? There's no way we can't do on our own. We can't do in our own ability, our own strength. It takes the grace of God, like Pastor is teaching this morning. It takes the grace of God to get us to that point, like Ms. Brenda was saying, it's the third heaven, the upper room experience. That's how we can go boldly into the throne room and have that encounter with God, you know, in the heavenlies, with the right now and experiencing now, because of the grace of God. Because, you know, we don't have to try to figure out because He's done the work, you know. The holy work of the Lord.
Great day. I'm gonna cry with joy. You know, so light's flowing all through here, see? And now you know why. After they come out of that upper room, because they got so washed and felt so white, the first thing they started, repent for the remission of sins. It wasn't a legal type of thing. It's like, you can get washed where you don't even not conscious of it. And if you start preaching to the how many ever thousands, get the remission of your sins and then have your sins blotted out. And it would have, it pricked people to the heart. It's like, I gotta have this. I got to have this blotting out. I got this guilty conscience that's weighing me down. I couldn't explain it like that, but now I can see it. Remission. Feel my remission. Feel my remission, my soul that had been under remission, that had been under guilt, and now it's under the blood. Men everywhere want that. Men everywhere need that. Hidden inside, that's what they need. That blood right there. Pastor Jerry, Father. Yeah. No. No. You know, heaven's calling us, you know. Come up here, you know.
Heaven. Pastor said he wished he could dance. And I don't know, somebody said, so much has been said in here this morning. But when somebody said something, my hands went like this. And I believe it's symbolic that we can all do. Let go of it. Let go. Because we even sitting in here right now, there are things. Let go. And BJ, when I did that, the song came in my spirit. Definitely not a song. I'm not a songstress. He's not a dancer. So this is a mess up here. It's a mess in this house. Celebrate, Jesus, celebrate. Come on, Tina.
Celebrate, Jesus,
celebrate. Come on, y'all. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every day is a day of celebration. Every day is a day of resurrection. We've been saying it and saying it. But the reality of it. There's a victory. When I did my arms like that, Shanique, there's a freedom came. Like something leaped. Well, I was loosed from something. And that song, Celebrate. We can celebrate Jesus every day and worship and praise and glory to him because we live in the resurrection. We live in the resurrection. We don't live as sinners anymore. We live in the resurrection. Jesus Christ, we love you. This is my sin. That's our sin. Come on, Rocky. That's the sin. Come on, y'all. Come on, that's the sin. It don't belong to us anymore. The accuser of the brethren would try to say, so. But he's what, Rob? What is the accuser of a brother? Who said that? He's a liar. And he's cast down. And he want us to be what? Cast down with him. But we've been risen. I'm been risen with Christ Jesus. I'm not a sinner anymore. I'm a resurrected person. I'm the thief on the cross that's with him right now. I'm with him right now. Christ in me. I'm with him. David, a man after his own heart. He's with him. Bob Jones said he went to heaven. I'm going to sit down. By Joseph, he went to heaven, and he saw the wreckage. He read Abraham's book, all the wonderful things Abraham did. And he said, well, what happened when he lied about his wife, and he went where he wasn't supposed to go, and, well, none of that in the book. Hallelujah. Come on, y'all. You didn't catch it. Hallelujah. You didn't catch it. David's murder of Bathsheba's wife won't in the book. It's not in the book.
And that's, if you ever see that episode of Little House, that's what the end is. I mean, before, all the other times I've seen it. Okay, what happened? Why he didn't say anything about Mary's baby dying? He didn't say anything about Mr. Garby's wife being killed. What happened? Why did, you know, even though he's forgiven, but still, those people are dead, you know. But yesterday, Saturday, when I saw it, Saturday, I said, that's my father right there. That's my father. There's no mission of the death. There's no mission of the baby dying. There's no mission of the wife dying. He said, I love you, son. And they ran together and they embraced. The union was back.
The union. We've got union again today, y'all. I don't care what happens when we walk out that door, even before we walk out of that door. We're in union with him. It's not in the book. It's not in the book. It's not in the book. Derek, it's not in the book. I lied, I cheated, I committed adultery. It's not in the book. It's not in the book. And when the accuser of the brother come to you and try to tell you, say, you liar, shut up. You in the book, but I'm not in the book. I'm not in the book. Mark, not in the book, Mark. Mark is not in the book. Don't let him lie to you anymore. You are worthy. You are worthy, Mark. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. Right now, we are worthy. And we will be tomorrow worthy. Okay, how much I miss it? Okay, how much I come short? Jesus paid it long enough for all of us. The blood's thick enough for all of us. And it has not lost his power. And every time I fall, his blood catch me. Every time I slip, his blood catch me. And I come up clean again. Washed in his blood. It's not a one time. You don't take a bath once and say, I took a bath last year. Come on now. He makes us glad. That song, I told Tina she left part of it out. He's made. Come on, Trinity. He has made me glad. He has made. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. See, that change, it's a two different song. Tina, I'm sorry, baby. I'm sorry, sweetheart. That's another song. Tina's like, huh, don't put that on me. But you know, that's when you can live a life of praise and worship and thanksgiving. See, that's when you don't need an organ. That's when you don't need a musician. That's when you live. You come in here worshiping. Miss Carolyn said, when I pull up on the parking lot, I'm worshiping. She come out to meet us in the morning with her little worship going on. She got her praise, her orchestra inside, on the inside. Because he's made us glad. We're not living sad and defeated. And as Christian said, we've given him more square footage. We kicked him out today. We kicked the devil out and gave God and the Holy Spirit more square footage to work. Our mind has been renewed today again. And it's a daily thing. It's a daily renewal. A daily. That's why, Pastor, the children of Israel couldn't enter in, y'all. They could not enter in because they could not get out of sin. They could not get out of their unworthiness. After all he brought them through, from the blood on the doorposts through the Red Sea, they could never get it. But I declare, you got it, mama. Baby, you got it. You have something. Come on. Tina Bina said, I got something. You're not talking about Kevin.
No. That's the great thing, though.
Oh, look at him. Look at him. When she said that, look at him. Threw his arm back over the chair.
That's the great thing.
It is. But, oh, I'm sorry. But when she said that about the daily, God gave me, he would be my daily bread years ago. But these last few years, he's been showing me it's more than just food. They couldn't come out because when he told him their daily bread, they was just food and couldn't get let go to sin. The daily bread has changed our mindset daily. I mean, he gives you what you need. Every day.
Yes, every
can pray. You can pray and close us.
Yes.
Every day. Your mind renewed.
Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for our daily bread. God, we thank you for the renewing of our minds, the renewing of our souls, our spirit. God, we celebrate, oh God. God, we celebrate you, oh God. We celebrate life. Oh God, we celebrate life. God, we thank you for what you're doing, what you're going to do, and what you've already done. God, we just thank you. We ask that you go with us from this place, and we honor and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.